Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another edition of the Hypertext AfriClass. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me today is Robin Chetty.
How's it going?
Good, and you? I've been away for a little bit. Apologies. I was on leave, taking a bit of a break.
Yeah, it was a fortnight.
A fortnight break, yeah. I didn't play Fortnite, though, at all. Not even a little bit. But enough of me talking. Let's get straight into it. The first thing we're going to chat about today is Showmax.
I've heard of it, yes.
Yes, you've heard of it. I'm sure lots of people have. Recently, or last week actually, they announced that they were launching a beta test of streaming sports, which is kind of a big deal, given that here in South Africa, at least, the only way for you to really get a nice selection of sports is to have a DStv subscription.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So would have kind of, I guess, a monopoly on that kind of.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to use the word monopoly too harshly, but it is. They are.
They've cornered the market.
Absolutely. That's actually the right way of saying it. They have cornered the market when it comes to sports. So yeah. So Showmax has now launched a beta test offering for their sports streaming, and it's okay. It's not too great. So let's start things off. The first thing that you're going to notice is that you're not paying more for Showmax. It's still 99 Rand per month. That's always a good thing. So you get access to limited sporting events. At the moment, with the Cricket World Cup on the go, there are a number of games that are being live streamed on Showmax. For instance, there was a South African game against Afghanistan, I want to say.
That's right, yeah.
The
only game we've won so far.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Okay, well done. Well done. So they were streaming that, I believe it was sometime this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I don't watch sport, guys, so it's like, don't judge me too harshly. I'm not keeping up with the World Cup. But yeah, so you could stream it there. Then things get a little bit weird. So there's a lot of magazine and variety shows that are broadcast on SuperSport that have now made their way onto Showmax. So you can stream stuff like that. So it's like the final touch, or the final whistle,
so
that's what it's called.
Like the pundits kind of like previewing and reviewing.
Yes. So stuff like What a Weekend, Showcase, Home, The Final Whistle, Inside Edge, In Touch, The Dan Nichols Show, Hashtag Born to Rugby. I don't know why that's a show. And then First 15. Those are just a selection of what you can find on there. Obviously, there's other sports like athletics, rugby. But so far what I've seen in terms of that is just highlights. So you'll see highlights of a football game or highlights of a local rugby game.
So kind of like SuperSport Blitz kind of style? Or
what is SuperSport Blitz?
So SuperSport Blitz is essentially SuperSport's news kind of channel. It's on number channel 200, if I remember correctly. And it'll kind of give you recaps of what's happened previously, like kind of the sporting events that have happened the past day or so, as well as any kind of breaking news that might be.
Yeah, so this is like extended highlights of games. That's so right. They, from what I've seen, is they range from like 30 to 40 minutes, depending on what it is.
To my mind, that sounds a bit more than like almost like a catch-up.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because it doesn't say highlights. It's got the name of the game. So like Stormers versus the Warrants or whatever their name
Waratahs.
Is. Waratahs, that's it. It's got that, and then extended. So it's extended highlights of the game. And then, so you can go back and see like previous games that you might have watched or you might have missed. And then also there's the talk and magazine shows that you can check out. But as I said, in terms of live streaming, things are a little bit iffy at the moment. I don't want to slam them too much because this still is in beta testing phase. But in terms of live events, like, there's not really much.
Slim picking.
Very slim. At the moment, you're only seeing stuff like the Cricket World Cup. And I believe I saw one rugby game that was being broadcast. But don't quote me on that. I might have seen highlights that were being broadcast at a later stage. So at the moment, live sport is kind of touch and go. The other thing to note is that the stream quality. So if you have DStv Now, if you're a DStv subscriber, you get access to DStv Now. And that actually allows streaming at 1080p. Showmax is limited to 720p at the moment. So you, the highest quality you can get is HD, not full HD, which is a little bit of a boon. I mean, if, especially if you have DSTV Now and you go from DSTV Now to Showmax, you'll definitely see the dip in quality. It's not too much of a bad thing, though. And it's also, given that you're paying 99 Rand to at least see some sports, it's a caveat that I can understand. The quality is okay, and I never noticed any sort of hitch while I was streaming. Showmax has improved a lot since its initial release a couple of years ago. So if you used it a couple of years ago and you haven't used Showmax, I would recommend going and checking it out again. There's a 14-day trial you can test out and see whether it's something you would like.
Just to ask you about the streaming.
In
terms of what kind of whatever line you have set up at your house, what's suggested or what's the best?
Okay, so if you're going to stream at the lowest quality, which I believe is 480p, you should have at least... So I'm going to go off of what Netflix tells us, because Netflix is kind of similar to Showmax and how you consume data. So I'm just going to use their kind of profile to give you an idea of what sort of speeds you should have to stream.
The reason why I ask is that I use DSTV Now specifically to stream sports, and I've got a up to 100 meg line. I say up to 100 megs because I normally get 60 megs.
Yeah.
And every now and then there is a little bit of buffering, and the quality, image quality dips a bit, which is a little frustrating. So that's why I'm wondering what kind of experience, to get, I guess, the optimum Showmax sport experience, what kind of line are you looking to?
Okay, so for HD quality, you need about 5 megabits per second. So at home, I have a 20 megabit per second line, which is a bit like crazy, and I don't really experience any of these issues. But if you're on, like, for instance, 3G, you should be able to stream low quality video without having too much of a problem. Once you start going up in terms of the quality, you're going to need a more bandwidth, as it were. So you'd need something like, if you wanted full HD, sort of that sort of thing, you would need more data, as it, or higher bandwidth, sorry, more throughput. So the higher quality stream you want, the more data you're going, or the more bandwidth you will require.
Sure.
My advice is to stick with, if you are streaming on high quality, do it on an uncapped line. Mm-hmm. Don't do it on your data, because you will use a lot of data. Showmax advises that you will use 3 gigs per hour streaming high quality content. So it's really nice that Showmax does show you, when you select what quality you want, how much data you would use approximately in an hour of streaming this content. So that's really nice. And then the interface of Showmax is really nice as well. Really, really clean. It looks very nice. The only thing that I am concerned of is where Showmax goes from here with sports. So Showmax is part of MultiChoice, which is all, and along within MultiChoice, there's DSTV. So DSTV obviously still wants folks to pay a DSTV subscription. Makes sense. That's how they make money and how they keep their content going. But now you have Showmax, and you've shown folks, hey, we can stream sports, and we can do it for without charging you extra money, for now at least. I do suspect that once this goes live and becomes a more robust service, you will start to pay more for Showmax with sport. I can even foresee there being a sort of pay-per-view model where you would go, oh, I want to watch the Formula One this weekend. Select that, pay, and then it gets added onto your bill at the end of the month. That, I think, is a solution. I don't know if that's something they're going to go for. At the moment, all we know is what Showmax has given us in terms of their sports. I would like to see where this goes and how it grows. Another thing that I'm curious to see is how much this influences Netflix Showmax signups. Because if you weren't a Showmax subscriber before, and now all of a sudden you can access sports where you might not have had DSTV previously, this is now a really tempting offer. Because sure, the live sport not being there is a bit of a, I'm not too happy about that. But if all you want to do is be able to keep up with sporting events, this is a really great solution. And in terms of football and rugby, like the highlights that come out are very, very timeous. So like if a game happens tonight on Showmax, well, a game that was on Saturday was available the next day on Showmax for streaming.
From my perspective, there's probably two questions I need answered around this, and that, and obviously you won't be able to answer it, but
yeah.
I kind of pose this hypothetically towards multi-choice or DSV, whoever you want to call them. It's around, one, what does this actually mean for DSTV now? Because if you add sports and live streaming of sports to Showmax, it, to my mind, it will start to cannibalize what DSTV now offers.
Absolutely.
And then the next question is, what are you guys going to do for content? Because although highlights of games is nice to have,
yeah,
I want live streaming of sports. And I specifically, I'm not talking about myself here only,
yeah.
I want Premier League football. If they added Premier League football to Showmax sports offering, I guarantee the subscriptions would skyrocket.
Yeah, and then but then the converse of that is that DSTV subscriptions might dip, although maybe not, because like just looking at the folks that I know that have DSTV, they're often older folks that don't want anything complicated. They want to be able to sit down, press a button, and watch television. Do those folks, are those folks going to move to Showmax? Maybe if it's cheaper, they might, but I'm not so sure. But it's a very good question, and I think it's one that multi-choice has been tackling or like playing with for a number of years already.
Yeah, I think it's a generational issue. Like I even think about my parents who aren't that old, but they've already started to make the shift from watching traditional DSTV to streaming everything that they want to watch.
I mean, my father also recently said to me, he's like, oh, I'm thinking of cancelling Netflix or DSTV at the end of the year because it's just getting too expensive. I was like, well, I mean, you're not the first one to tell me that. And it makes sense. I mean, it's like, what is it now? Like R1,000 almost for a premium account, which is...
I wonder if the big player from MultiChoice is to kind of bundle everything together and then you pay according to what service you want.
Look, if I had the opportunity to pay for a DSTV subscription that allowed me to access stuff online, I would pay for it. Absolutely, because I don't necessarily like giving Netflix my money because they're based in the US of A, whereas DSTV is a local company. I can give them my money and know that it's going to a local company. Local people's salaries are being paid. It's peace of mind for me. It sounds really silly compared, like putting Netflix and MultiChoice in that sort of ring, but that's how I feel. And I think that if MultiChoice were to go, okay, you know what, we're gonna let the hounds out. We're gonna give you a way to create a DSTV online subscription where you can select a certain package for yourself, bouquet, what you want to watch, and then that's formulate, and you get a price out of that every month that you pay. I'd be perfectly happy to do that. The trouble for me, though, is that I don't want to spend R1,000 on a DSTV subscription where the only thing I am foreseeably going to watch is the Formula One and maybe one or two things on the History Channel now and then.
Yeah, I think if MultiChoice are smart and they kind of look at their different offerings and find a way to offer it in a unique and... affordable kind of manner, they could... I believe they could certainly have a competitor to Netflix.
Absolutely. I think that if, like, I have maintained this and I will say it again and again until I'm blue in the face, the streaming company that manages to get sports online in a way that is affordable is the person who will win the streaming wars. Like, sure, like Netflix has the problem of people geolocating into the US catalog. Mm. I foresee MultiChoice all of a sudden having an influx of users from around the world just to access like the Premier League football or the Rugby World Cup or whatever sport is going on, because streaming sport online is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
And streaming sport legally online.
We wouldn't know anything about that.
I don't know about illegally. I don't know anything about that. So I think that MultiChoice is onto a gold mine here. It all depends on how this beta test plays out and how the service grows in the future. But yeah, check it out. Showmax.com, I believe is the URL. I don't want to say showmax.co. Let me just double check this. Showmax.com. It has a 14-day trial if you have not tried it out yet. You can try it out free for 14 days and then you can cancel. Check out the sports. Let us know what you think. I think it's a cool idea and I'm interested to see how it grows.
Just lastly, did they mention anything about when it's been out of the beta phase and when they actually want to launch it?
No, there was no word about when it's going to leave beta phase. They did mention, let me just get the gentleman's name here. I think his name was Nicholas Ekdahl, who is the CEO of MultiChoice Connected Video. He said, we'll be ramping up our live game offerings with everything from selected matches from the best football leagues in Europe to streaming a wide variety of varsity and school sports. So that's the plan for the future. More sports coming to the platform, which is obvious. How that will be presented remains to be seen. And then obviously it seems like this will be a platform for your college or your varsity rugby, varsity sports, that sort of stuff. So yeah, I'm curious to see where it goes. I think it could be a winner for MultiChoice.
Yeah, if they played right, yeah.
Absolutely. Right, so that's enough of that. We'll have links to the story you can read below, just my thoughts on Showmax Sports. And let's move on. Robin, you yesterday found out about some new currency.
Yeah, so Facebook heard about this thing called cryptocurrencies, and decided to get into this cryptocurrency game, you know, see what it's all about. We joke and jest a bit, but this, to my mind, could actually be quite an important announcement. So last week already, there were murmurings about Facebook announcing their own cryptocurrency. And I guess to kind of get ahead of the story, as it were, they provided a teaser for what they're calling Libra and Calibra. So Libra, sorry, whenever I say those names together, I think of Cody and Cambria. But, So Libra is their new digital currency. It hasn't launched yet. They're looking to launch in 2020, but we don't have a precise date just yet. And then Calibra is the digital wallet that essentially empowers the digital currency.
Okay. Basically a place to store Libra and then use it, I would assume.
So the way that Facebook is envisioning this whole kind of system is that Libra would be a digital currency that they could launch in developing countries, specifically countries where a lot of the population is unbanked or doesn't have access to traditional financial services. So to my mind, that immediately makes you think of a lot of African countries.
Yeah.
And Facebook, to their credit, have been kind of ramping up their presence on the African continent. So I can definitely see some synergy there. But that said, Facebook has stayed pretty quiet in terms of where they're looking to launch, what month or what day of 2020 they are in fact looking to launch. So this right now is just a teaser, so we don't really have a full idea of what Libra is going to be all about. That said, the kind of the Calibra platform, so what Facebook has done is, which I think is perhaps the most interesting part of this whole system, is that they have partnered up with a bunch of financial services providers, really big ones as well. So MasterCard, Visa, PayPal. You've also got services like Lyft, eBay, Spotify, Coinbase, Vodafone, a whole bunch, Farfetch, Uber. Also, so like a whole bunch of different partners that they're looking to create in this kind of Calibra ecosystem, as it were. So with those kind of companies now, you essentially take your digital wallet and you can pay for a whole bunch of different services, thanks to this kind of partner network that they've created.
So you could essentially use Libra to pay for your Uber Lyft.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Like, well, if this works as intended, you would be able to use Libra.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps the end goal for it. I think initially they want to start getting into developing countries and kind of seeing how well it works as a means of digital currency.
Giving people a means to transfer money across border, like a remittance sort of service.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm hesitant for people to kind of put this in the same kind of bracket as Bitcoin, because I don't think that Bitcoin was a lot more speculative and it was used as a means for people to kind of just trade and get as much money as they possibly could.
Something I did know about, or I did notice about while reading up about this announcement yesterday, was that all of the companies that are involved in Libra actually have to pay a fee to be a part of it. Need to pay like $10 million in order to be part of the Libra Association, which comes with a whole bunch of perks. Like, for instance, a node on Libra can only be opened by one of the partners of the association. And that also underpins and takes away that speculativeness of something like Bitcoin or Ethereum. Yep. Whereas now, if you buy Ethereum, it's backed up by this organization, this association that has paid a lot of money to back this. And I think that kind of gives people a bit more peace of mind
when
dealing with it?
When this was announced, unfortunately, Facebook has been kind of mired in a lot of controversy over the past year. So I remember reading some comments online. A lot of users on Twitter were kind of hesitant to kind of look into these Zuck bucks.
Zuck bucks.
And, you know, to be fair, I understand the hesitancy. I mean, like I said, Facebook haven't been doing a great job when it comes to data, haven't been doing a great job when it comes to actually protecting its users in terms of security. So I understand the kind of
hesitation
to kind of want to look into a platform like this. That said, I think this is going to be really different, and it's particularly because of their partner ecosystem and the fact that they are punting security a lot. I mean, obviously, this has only been announced and teased somewhat, so we don't really understand the full kind of way it's going to work. That said,
I mean, it's running off of a blockchain technology.
Yeah.
So to me, that immediately says trust, verified, So for me, the fact that it's based off of blockchain rather than just, hey, we're starting Facebook Bank.
Yeah.
I think that's a little, it gives me a little bit more confidence rather than just like, oh, I'm trusting Facebook with my financial information now. It's rather I'm developing a blockchain. I'm trusting a blockchain that was developed with Facebook and a whole bunch of other people with my money. Yeah, I suppose I could give it a test. And I think that, like you say, like the proof of the pudding here will be how successful it is, how it rolls out, how it's used, and that sort of stuff. And I think like Facebook is big enough for it to kind of give this a real go.
Yeah.
You know, rather than like, I don't know, another bank somewhere in the world saying, hey, we're going to launch cryptocurrency. And who knows, maybe this is the start of like a whole bunch of financial institutions launching a cryptocurrency.
Yeah, so I think the cynic in me wants to hold off and kind of see how this thing pans out. But I'm also quite optimistic in terms of the potential that this kind of digital currency and digital wallet could have.
Yeah.
If Facebook are going to kind of keep true to their word and focus on developing countries, that could be quite interesting. But yeah, for now, all we know is that it's going to be launching sometime in 2020. It's blockchain-based. You'll be able to access it via your Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, or there's also going to be a standalone Libra app
that
you'll be able to use for it. So yeah, it's still early stages. They said 2020, so I'm assuming it's probably going to be mid to late 2020. So we'll see how this kind of
is Facebook going to take over the world?
Hasn't it already?
I mean, like, what I would argue that Google owns the world at the moment, or owns the internet.
I think Google owns the world's data.
Yeah.
Facebook owns the world's time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense, because people constantly scrolling through Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram and Messenger. And what else does Facebook own?
Facebook Live, but yeah, don't.
Yeah, let's not go there. I'm actually really excited about this. I think that if there is a social media company that could pull this off, I think it is Facebook. And if we're being honest, they have 2 billion users. Is it?
The monthly active users.
Yeah, I think it's 2 billion monthly active users. I think that this is a smart move from them. It all, however, depends on it depends on how well this thing rolls out. 2.38 billion monthly active users as of March 31st, 2019.
Jeez.
I mean, that's a lot of people, you know? And I mean, I think they said there are 1.7 billion people unbanked. If you get those 1.7 billion people onto Facebook, that's 3-4 billion people. That's the majority of the world that is on your platform.
Yeah, I'm quite interested to know whether they're going to make this app available on Facebook Lite. Because if you're talking about developing nations, developing countries, a lot of the access to Facebook is via the Facebook Lite app.
Something somebody did ask me, actually, though, is how Facebook plans to deal with, like, if you're unbanked, how do you get money onto Libra? You see, this is that's an interesting question. I would think that they'd have to have something like an ATM where you could deposit local currency into your Libra accounts.
Oh, like when they get those Bitcoin ATMs that never get used.
Yeah, like something like that. I mean, at least initially, especially in developing countries like here in Africa, where you might not have a bank account at all or access to getting a bank account. Like,
so there are still some.
And I mean, they do specifically say that you're targeting the unbanked, which is like, okay, so how do you do that? How do you get people into this economy? Maybe there's a solution where Facebook, your Libra account is just like a normal bank account number rather than the hash that it is for normal Bitcoin
wallets. It's also an educational aspect they have to worry about as well, because although a lot of people are online via their phones, I still think there's a lot of misinformation around cryptocurrencies and blockchain is essentially how they work. A lot of that, I think, has been perpetuated by Bitcoin, and people are just thinking it's a quick way to make a quick buck.
And also beyond that as well, I mean, it's also you need to educate users to now have extremely secure passwords, two-factor authentication, all that sort of stuff. Because if say, Libra is hosted on Facebook, right, and you use your Facebook password to log into everything, and this person gets hold of your Facebook accounts, gets into your Libra account, empties it out, it's gone. Mm. Unless Facebook has a way to kind of ensure that your money is protected, maybe it will. We don't know. But yeah, it's interesting to see where this is going.
Yeah, I think like a lot of ambitious ideas,
yeah,
there's a high failure rate and a really high success rate,
yeah,
if it's done correctly.
So absolutely.
So we'll see how it...
That's interesting. It's really great. I'm glad to see Facebook trying something else rather than just trying to be a social network company, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
We will see. Right, folks, that's going to wrap us up, except not 100% just yet. I managed to have a little bit of a chat earlier today with Jason Jenkinson, who is the country marketing manager for Dell Technologies in South Africa. We had a little bit of a chat about the Dell Technologies Forum, which is happening in Johannesburg on the 27th of June. So we're going to chat a bit about that.
Yeah, next week Thursday.
Yeah, next week Thursday, mm, just around the corner. So we're going to chat to him about that, what you can expect, what exciting developments Dell might have. And we'll try and get that. I don't know if he's willing to share that sort of stuff. But yeah, take a listen. And yeah, we'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today with me on the line, I have a special interview with the country marketing manager at Dell Technologies South Africa, Jason Jenkinson. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing well, thanks, Brandon. Thank you very much.
It's great to have you on the Africast. Thank you for joining us. You're actually here to chat to us a bit about an event that you guys are hosting next week, the Dell Technologies Forum. I say next week, it actually seems to be an ongoing thing. Is that correct? It's like a global event that you guys host.
Yeah, so it's a global event. We have in the region of around 60 of these events happening in the EMEA region. The one that's happening next week, which is on the 27th of June, is happening at the Sandton Convention Center here in Johannesburg.
Okay. I was doing some research a little bit earlier, and I saw that there's currently a forum on the go in Lisbon. Is that correct?
There was one in Lisbon. There was one in Barcelona last week. We've got one that's happening in Nigeria, I think, over the weekend and early next week. And then we've got our one happening next week. So, yeah, we have quite a few of these on the go across the globe. Yeah.
So what happens at these forums? Is it just a bunch of people talking, standing up and talking, giving keynotes? What can people kind of expect at this event?
So what we try to do is we try to put together something for everyone. So we do have some keynotes. We have a lady coming through from the US. Her name is Patricia Florisi. She's our vice president who looks after engineering technology. So very very interesting lady. She's going to be coming through with some insights around technology and the developments that we can expect to see coming up in the future. We also have she'll be doing the keynote. We also have more of a conversation style as well. So we have some customers there that are going to be there on the day that are going to be talking about their experiences around Dell, some of the challenges that they're experiencing in the market, how they've overcome some of that stuff.
Oh, wow.
So it's really a mix of a whole load of stuff. We have some exhibition stands as well. So we've got 20 of our partners that are going to be at the event, and they're going to be exhibiting what they're capable of, their services, and what they add onto Dell technology. In addition to that, we obviously have a large Dell presence there. So
I would imagine.
we are, um, so, So we're going to be showcasing some of our latest technology from the latest laptops through to some of our gaming stuff. So we've got we're going to have some stuff around our around Alienware, which is a very popular gaming brand that we have. We sponsor the McLaren Racing Team. This year we're actually going to try something a little different and try and make it a bit more immersive. So we're going to have a McLaren like a car simulator, so you can sit in it, and then we're going to have, instead of just having a TV screen, we're going to have a 4K laser projector that's going to be projecting this experience onto a big screen. So the person who's driving it, it's going to be quite an immersive experience. And also it's going to be quite interesting because the other people who are standing around are going to be able to, to also experience just what it's like, the speed that gets generated out of these McLarens. So we also have that's going to be on the go. So I'm actually really looking forward to seeing that, and I actually might have a go at that myself. And then we also have a couple of the Springboks coming through on the day. So Dell is a sponsor of the Springboks. So we've got a couple of the box coming through. We're going to be talking to them about their preparation for the World Cup, how things are currently going. And we might also try to get some information out of who they think their big, big competitors are and what they need to overcome going into the World Cup.
That's very interesting. I mean, just to interrupt you shortly. I mean, like, we're seeing more and more that technology and sports are kind of merging together. So I think that'll be really interesting from a completely non-technological person standpoint.
It is, and it's quite interesting to see just the effect actually that technology is having on sport. So one of the interesting aspects is out of our McLaren sponsorship, we help the McLaren team to analyze the strains that the body goes under when you're a Formula One driver. So if you look at Fernando Alonso, we actually help the team with our technology to do that analysis. And that helps Fernando to change his diet. You know, we can have a look at it and see if he changes his diet or he changes his exercise routine, those kinds of things, what kind of effect that has on his performance. The interesting thing out of that is that we are now being able to use the same technology to help people who have things like diabetes. So wow. It's now just from that, obviously now that technology is spilt over into the mainstream, and we're able to help people who have got those kinds of diseases. So it's really interesting to see how technology and sports is actually changing the lives of everyday people.
It'll be interesting to see that as well, and see how that those sorts of solutions can eventually make it into the mainstream. I think that's a really nice platform to kind of show that off.
Definitely, yeah. We're actually looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great day.
Cool. Then to change tack just a little bit, I see that Dell Technologies has recently launched a medium business unit. Could you maybe go into a bit more detail about that?
So the medium business unit, so it's really an area that we have we've always been involved in that area. I think it's just something that we have a stand that is going to be focused more on medium business solutions. So if you're a medium business, it's worthwhile, register for the event, come through on the day. Come and have a look at our medium business stand. We've got some solutions there that would be tailored for that medium business market, where you're looking for solutions that are simple, easy to run, that don't require a huge IT team to manage and to keep up and running. So that's kind of what that's all about. So it's definitely something that we've seen that we need to focus on. So yeah, it's available for people to come and have a look at on the day.
Fantastic. So let's talk a bit of logistics. So we know it's at the Sanson Convention Center. It's on the 27th of June. How much does it cost to attend?
It is absolutely free.
Oh, wow.
So it's free to attend. So it's, again, you know, it's a great opportunity to come through, get exposed to some, to some world-class speakers, get to understand more about technology. We also have Wusi Tembakwayo. He's a well-known speaker. He's also he's a board member of multiple boards across multiple industries. He's going to be talking to us about some of the opportunities in South Africa, how those green shoots are coming through now. There is pretty much something for everyone. You know, if you want to come through, learn about technology, just kind of understand what's happening in the South African market, get exposed to some gaming, it's a great event for people to come through and at no cost.
Absolutely. And especially if you are a business in South Africa, if you are dealing with anything with cloud, IoT, you have an interest in 5G, security, I think that this is definitely the place to be next week.
It's definitely somewhere to come through too. We're going to also have some interesting announcements just around our multi-cloud offering. So we have some interesting products that we're going to be launching, which hold native software on them that will enable you to manage your cloud environment. It just takes some of the complexity out of managing your cloud environment. So, again, you know, it'll be interesting for people who are embarking upon a cloud strategy and want to try and manage that and make it more simple.
Fantastic. Jason, is there anything we've missed? Anything else you want to add?
We also have, if there's guys out there who want to go into more depth on the technological side, we've got 16 different tracks that are going to be happening on the day. So you can come through and choose out of those 16. You'll be able to attend four because four of them, we have four sessions that run concurrently. So you'll be able to choose four of that. So in everything from workforce transformation to security to IT transformation. And if you want to, if you're interested in infrastructure and how you can set up your infrastructure and manage it, we have tracks around all of this, around all of these technology streams. So, there is the section where you can really, do a deep dive into the technological offerings. And then the other side of it is if you're more of the, focused on business, looking at business solutions, we're also going to have areas that are going to be touching on that.
Fantastic. Starts at 9 o'clock, correct?
It starts at 9 o'clock. Registration starts at 7:30. You can, if you Google Dell Technologies Forum, Johannesburg will come up. Just click on that and you can register for the event.
Yeah, we'll throw a link into the bottom of this podcast just for everybody that wants to attend. You can just click the link. Don't even need a Google. We'll do that for you.
Great.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat to us, and we'll see you next week at the Dell Technologies Forum.
Fantastic, Brendan. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks so much to Jason Jenkinson, the Country Marketing Manager for Dell Technologies South Africa. It was a really interesting interview. Be sure to head to the links below to find out more about the Dell Technologies Forum in Johannesburg next week. That's going to do it from us here at Hypertext. I've been Brendan Lott saying cheerio to you from Robin Chetty.
Take it easy.
We'll see you next week. Cheerio.
Bye.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.